All right, so we have been looking at the idea of the narrow path, right, for a couple months now since Easter. And congratulations, you made it to the end of the path. This is the last Sunday that we are on this topic. Feels like it's been a long time, but we're finishing it up this Sunday with this sermon series on the narrow path. This is all based off of something that Jesus said. It's actually a verse that's over there on the wall above the coffee. How he said there's two paths of life. There's a wide path that's easy to go that actually leads to destruction. And there's also a narrow path that's harder that leads to life. Okay, and in the big sense, the big picture, Jesus is saying that the wide path that's easy to follow is the way of the world. It's the way of choosing to be our own master, our own God, and letting us be in charge. That's the wide path. The narrow path is the narrow path of following Jesus, of saying yes to him, of allowing him to be your God, your Lord. That's the narrow way, and that leads to life. So there's the big picture. There's also the day-to-day, and that's really what this series is about. It's about learning in the day-to-day, okay, how do I actually practice following Jesus? Like, it's one thing to say, yeah, I follow Jesus, or you know, I believe. It's another thing to know daily, what do I need to do today in order to make the choice to stay on the narrow path and stay away from the wide path? Okay, I think we're presented with choices every single day in our life where we can choose to go this way or this way, right? And there's a wide way, there's an easy way, there's a way that most people will choose, there's a way that's also narrow, the way of Christ. And that's the way that leads us to freedom, just like that narrow path you see on the screen. That's the place that leads us to freedom. And so the idea is, here's our picture we've been looking at, right? Freedom is the place in the middle. That's the where we want to live our lives at. We want to live with freedom and joy and hope, peace, love, all the fruits of the Holy Spirit. That's what we want our life to look like. But the way of the world is the outside. The wide path is the outside that sometimes we find ourselves on, and we find ourselves in these different places on the journey of life. Just a brief recap review, right? The first place is the basement. This is the place of shame where we believe the lies that we are not worthy, that we are not valued in God's eyes. That's the place of the basement. And sometimes that leads us to live, kind of isolate ourselves from others, which leads us to live in the island, which is the place of loneliness. Then the ladder is the place where we try to climb out of that loneliness by our performance and our work and our putting our worth in what we do, which can lead us to chasing the wind, getting more. We want more performance. We want more success, more money, more whatever it is. And then that leads us to a choice of a place of temptation. We talked about this a few weeks ago, the big slide, right? This is where we're tempted to do something we know is wrong, we shouldn't do. Which, if we take that temptation, right, if we slide down that slide, it puts us in the pit. Last week we looked at the pit of despair, right? This is like the place in the movie The Servant and the Princess Bride, right? The movie we looked at last week. This is the place where we are in this place where Satan comes to us and says, don't even think about trying to escape, right? The chains are too thick. You have no dream of being rescued. You're just in this pit of despair. It's this place we find ourselves when we do something we've told ourselves we wouldn't do again. When we are back at the same place, we're back in this pit again, right? And we talked about last week, just to quickly review, that even biblical heroes, right? The people in the Bible who we respect and we honor for the way they followed God, they even found themselves in the pit too, okay? So here's just an example of Paul, right? This Apostle Paul, who wrote much of the New Testament, planted all kinds of churches. Romans 7, he says, I've discovered this principle in life that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there's another power within me that is at war within my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Right? And this is what we feel like sometimes in this side of heaven, in this world that is sin, right? There's sin all around us. There's sin in us. There's sin in others around us. There's sin in the way that the world works. We are in this place that can feel like miserable, right? It can feel miserable. It can feel like we're in a pit where there's no light at all. And so last week we looked at how we're tempted to run away from the pit, right? We're tempted to just ignore it, distract ourselves from it. But really what we need to do when we're in this pit is to lean into it and know the way out. We have to know what the way out is. And the way out last week we talked about, just briefly, is in confession of sin. Okay? Proverbs 28:13, look at that on the screen. It says, whoever conceals his transgressions means, as another way to say, sin. Okay, so whoever hides his sin or hides the wrong things that he or she does will not prosper. But he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. So God lays it out for us right here in Proverbs 28:13. If we try to hide our sin, cover it up, say it's not a big deal, like then we won't prosper in life. But if we confess and forsake, so confess means to share it, forsake means to run away from it, leave it, stop doing it, right? Then we will obtain mercy, God's mercy. Okay, so the way out is confession of sin. And that's what we're talking about today. That's our topic. This is the practice that we're looking at our church today, right? What is confession of sin and how do we do it? What does the Bible teach about it? All of those things, because this is the practice of the way out of the pit. So with all that said, let's dive into the Bible. Okay, if you have a Bible with you today, I want to encourage you to look at it. Open it up to 1 John chapter 1. We're going to be there. The verses will be on the screen also if you don't have one with you, but it's also always good to kind of follow along.
Which verse?
1 John chapter 1, verse 5. We're going to be in 5 through 10 this morning. Okay, so here we have 1 John. This is a letter written by the Apostle John, and he's writing this to a church. Okay, so here we go. 1 John 1, 5. He says, this is the message that we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. So first of all, John was an apostle of Jesus. He was someone who had lived with Jesus, talked with Jesus, been with Jesus. And he's saying, this is the message that we heard from Jesus. And this is what we're giving to you. Okay, this is the message. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. Right, so think about light for a second. Like, what are some things about light? First of all, light is a good thing, right? Light is good. It's useful. If we had no light in the world, obviously we couldn't live. Light is good. Okay, light. So it's God is good, first and foremost. Okay, light is good. God is good. Secondly, light is pure. There's no variations within it. Light is pure. And so what it's saying when God is light, it's saying God is pure. God is holy. God is righteous. There's no bad. There's no sin in God. There's no darkness in God. There's no moral questionability in God at all. He is light. He's perfect. He doesn't sin. Okay. And then finally, God is present. Light is present, right? If you think about what light does, it fills a room with its presence, right? And that's how God works too. God is present with us in the world. He fills the world with his presence and with his goodness. So the first message is this, that God is light. That is who God is. This all the stuff that we're going to talk about today in confession, it all flows from God's character, that God is good, that he's perfect, that he is present with us. And then he says this in verse 6, if we say we have fellowship with him, okay, so that means fellowship is relationship. Fellowship is the Greek word koinonia here, but it just means to have a relationship with somebody. So if we say we have a relationship with God, while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Okay, if we try to say we have fellowship or relationship with God who is light, but at the same time we are walking in the darkness, then we are not practicing the truth. So what does it mean to walk in darkness, right? If God is light, meaning God is good, darkness would be sin. Okay, it would be the opposite of good. It would be bad sin, moral sin, right? Things that are not right. It would be not pure. It would be not present. Okay, it's the opposite of light. God is light. Everything that is the opposite of that is what it means to walk in darkness. And so he's saying, if we walk in darkness, while we say we have a relationship with God, we're lying and not practicing the truth. Now, a couple things on this verse. To walk in something, guys, means to live in it as a lifestyle. Okay, so on this side of heaven, everybody's going to step into darkness once in a while, meaning we're all going to mess up. We're all going to sin. We're all going to have struggles on this side of heaven. Nobody's perfect before we get there. Okay, so it's not saying that we, if we mess up sometimes, right, we're in darkness. But what it's saying is if we walk in darkness, if we're consistently living a lifestyle of sin, living a lifestyle of hiding, of secrets and not truth, then we're lying to ourselves. We don't really have fellowship with God if that is the case. We deceive ourselves, okay? And that's what human beings are really good at doing, deceiving ourselves. We deceive ourselves and others that we are really walking with God. See, the issue really here that he's addressing is this kind of double life thing where we say, on one hand, yes, I know God, and at the same time, we don't practice what God says. We walk in darkness and not in light. So verse 6 lays it out for verse 7. Look at that with me. Okay, so we can't say we have a relationship with God while we walk in the darkness. But the opposite, it would be to walk in the light. So if we walk in the light, verse 7, as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So if we walk in the light, which means to walk where he is, right? Because he is light, so we walk in him. And we walk and we allow ourselves to walk in the light. Then we have fellowship. And this is really interesting, right? That he doesn't say we have fellowship with God. That's true. I think that's there. But what he says in this verse is we have fellowship with one another. So when we walk in the light as believers, yes, we have a relationship with God then, but we also have a relationship and fellowship with one another. Okay, and we're going to come back to why he says that later. Okay, but we have fellowship with one another. We really know each other when we're walking in the light. And then the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Okay, why does he talk about the blood of Jesus in this verse? It's because he's referring to the cross of Jesus Christ, the place where Jesus went to die to pay for the penalty of our sin. It's something that we say a lot in church, right? But we don't always reflect on what it actually means and how awesome and amazing it actually is, right? That Jesus Christ lived a sinless life, a perfect life, but went to a Roman cross to pay the penalty for our sin in our place. It's the Bible, theologians call it a substitutionary atonement, right? And that's what the Bible teaches that it was. It was the substitutionary atonement, meaning we should have been in that place. We deserve the penalty, but Jesus took it from us in our place, and that his blood, his sacrifice on the cross, is what cleanses us from all sin. Okay, it forgives us and cleanses us from all sin. We're going to come back to that idea in verse 9, but right now, for now, just know that the cross cleanses us from sin when we walk in the light. Okay, that's the connection here, verse 7. When we walk in the light, then the cross cleanses us from all sin. Okay, now verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So saying we have no sin is like kind of presented there as the opposite of walking in the light. Walking in the light and saying we have no sin are the two opposite things, right? So the real problem here that he's addressing is being unwilling to confess sin or to be honest about where we're at. Because if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, right? We're not deceiving God. We can't trick God, right? If we say we have no sin, God sees everything. We can't trick him. We can't deceive him. And really, we can't even deceive others, because if we have an ongoing sin in our life, others around us are going to be able to see that as well. The only person that you're deceiving, that I'm deceiving if I'm saying that I don't have no sin, is myself, is ourselves, okay? And so that's the issue here that he's getting at through these verses is trying to live your life in a way that says, I don't have problems, I don't have sin, I'm doing okay, right? And not really being honest with things that you might be struggling with. Okay, then verse 9. Here's probably the main thing, right, of this section. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if we confess our sins, again, the opposite of saying we have no sin is to confess our sins. Right? So the opposite of saying we have no sins, to confess our sins. I love the word, learning about what the word confess. When we learn about what the words mean in the Bible, I think it teaches us so much more about what the Bible's saying. Okay, so he's saying if we confess our sins, that word for confess in the Greek, it's homologeo, which is two, kind of a compound word. So homo meaning the same, and logos meaning word or to say something. Right, so when you say you're confessing something, what you're doing is you're saying the same thing as somebody else. You're saying the same thing. You're believing the same thing. You're aligning yourself with what somebody else says, right? And so in the context, in the word confess or to confess means that I'm saying the same thing as what God says about this behavior or this action or this thing that I'm thinking or believing, this motivation that I have. I'm coming into alignment with God and with what he says about what is good and what is bad. When we confess our sin, we're just saying, we're agreeing with God that I shouldn't have done that, or I shouldn't say that, or that's not morally right, that's not godly. That's what confession is. It's coming into alignment with God. Just a real quick story from work this week. I was working with Heidi's dad, Denny, this week, and we were doing some pipe work and some making sure we put in the pipes together and making sure they line up. And we had to redo a section. And long story short, there was a section that my coworker friend, not to throw him under the bus, but he cut at the wrong length. Okay, so it was about 3 inches short. When we went to put it in, it didn't line up at all. And we were like, we tried to get it to line up a little bit. We were just like, okay, this is not going to work. Right? And so you can picture, right, how frustrating things are when things don't line up. Right? It's frustrating, right? And so to confess our sin is to line up with what God is saying, is to get aligned with what God thinks and how God works and what he says is good and what he says is bad. And so we have to align ourselves with God. So confess our sins and then look at what God says. If we do that, he is faithful. If we confess our sins, he's faithful to two things there, right? First, forgive us our sins. Okay, think about how amazing that is. God offers us forgiveness. Okay, no matter where you're at, some of you, I don't know where everybody that's listening to this, even listening online, maybe is with Christ, but you need to know Christ offers you forgiveness, real forgiveness of sin. So he forgives our sins if we confess them, but secondly, he cleanses us from them. He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. So it's not just forgiveness, and then you just keep doing whatever you want to do. Okay, that's not how this Jesus thing works. It's not like, okay, I've got the forgiveness, now I can just keep doing this. That's not it. He forgives us and he cleanses us from it. He forgives us from the sin, but then he also helps us to stop doing whatever it is or stop thinking whatever that thing, the way that you're thinking is. Okay, he forgives us and cleanses us from it. And then in verse 10, to close it out, he says, if we say we have not sinned, just to hammer it in one more time, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Okay, think about that for a second. If we say we have not sinned or we kind of refuse to be honest about sin, then we make God a liar. Now, obviously, God isn't a liar, but we're kind of in our actions when we say we don't have sin. That action is to kind of say that God is a liar because God's word clearly states what is sin and what isn't. And so when we sin and we say, but that's not sin, we're trying to say basically, well, God's not right. He's lying, right? And his word is not in us if we do that. So a couple of just observations from this text that we just went through. I know there's a few things there, and these are heavy things, okay? But here's a couple of just broad observations. First of all, walking in the light is a lifestyle of confessing and being honest about your sin. Okay, walking in the light is not about perfection. This is something that I think when you read this verse for the first time, you just hear walking in the light, you think about perfection. Yes, God is perfect and he is perfect. That's light. That's who God is. But when it comes to us walking in the light, it's not about being perfect. It's actually about being honest and saying, this is where I'm falling short at this moment in time in my quest, my journey to become like God, to become like Christ, which all of us in this room, if you're a Christian, that is your journey. That is your life's purpose, is to become more conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, become more like him in all the things that you do and say. That's why we're here, okay? So walking in the light's not about perfection, not about being perfect. It's about actually being honest and a lifestyle of consistently doing that. Walking in the dark, the opposite, right, is this lifestyle of hiding it. Hiding our sin, protecting our image, keeping it safe, keeping it secret, right? Denying it, saying that ignoring it, right? All those things that we sometimes do to try to protect our image. Maybe it's something that we just don't want to deal with. We don't want to confess. It's just easier, right, to not deal with it, to not bring it up. That's what it means to walk in darkness. And so if we walk in the darkness, couple of things out of the text. First, we deceive ourselves. Okay, we're not really understanding our true nature. We're deceiving ourselves about who we are. Secondly, we also don't really know God. We don't really have a relationship with God if we say that we have not sinned, or if we continue to walk in the darkness and continue to deny that we have sinned. Thirdly, right, we don't have God's forgiveness. And fourthly, we don't have God's cleansing power, right? That's that forgiveness and power we talked about a moment ago, that is comes to us through walking in the light, through confession, through us choosing to walk in the light. If we walk in darkness, we don't have either of those. But last thing, if we walk in the light, we know ourselves. Okay, we understand, we don't deceive ourselves anymore. We get better at not like thinking, oh, I'm better than I am. We just know ourselves better, first of all. Secondly, we know God. We have a relationship with God, right? When we begin to be honest about our struggles and our sins and all those things, it really does help us understand God's heart and understand what God went through to forgive us and to die on the cross for us and to help us become more like him. All those things, we understand that better. And then finally, we have God's forgiveness. And we have God's cleansing power, both of those things. And we have to keep them together, right? We have forgiveness. We also have God's power to help us and cleanse us and get different, right? To be different, to be changed. There's a saying out there. You might have heard it before. It goes like this. You're only as sick as your secrets. Okay, that's a saying that they use a lot in recovery circles like Alcoholics Anonymous, those types of things. You're only as sick as your secrets. And I think this Bible passage really would align with that. I think there's a lot of truth in that, right? If we want to look at, okay, how am I doing in life? Am I walking with Jesus? Do I have any secrets? Am I keeping secrets? Because we're only as sick as our secrets. And really, that's a problem that we have in the church today. Okay, it's a problem that we have in the modern church, and not to say this church or any one church in particular, but in the modern church, we have this problem. I think this is our strategy, our failed strategy that we have when we get to the pit in life as Christians, when we find ourselves in this place where we've sinned again, we've messed up, we've done the same thing. Our church's general go-to strategy is keep it secret and try it harder next time. That's kind of the general, right? Even if it's not explicitly said, that's kind of what you're supposed to do. Like you don't share about it, and you just try harder the next time that problem comes around. This is not working, okay? It's not working in churches out there. It doesn't work in any Christian's life to keep things secret, to try harder. That's not how the gospel works, okay? That's a different gospel. I would say that's the gospel of image management or sin management, okay? However you want to look at that. So image management, sin management, like you're just basically trying to make sure you still look good, and that's what that gospel is. But that's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ is Jesus came, he died to pay for your sins and to forgive you and to cleanse you. Okay, it's not about your works, but it's about what Jesus did. You trusting in that message fully, receiving that forgiveness, but then also receiving his power to live differently, to live a different kind of life, and to live a life that is holy, that is different, that is pure and righteous and walking in light, doing the right things. That's the gospel. Okay? Confession. Here's the thing, though. Okay? So on one hand, we fall into the ditch on both sides of this, right? There's always a ditch on both sides of the road. And churches and Christians fall into one ditch on the other, on either side of the road all the time, and lots of issues. Here's the ditches here, okay? The one ditch is we just keep it secret. We don't share it, okay? That's not good, okay? Because as Christians, if we truly believe we're forgiven of sin, the church should be a place that is safe to confess that sin, that's safe to share that sin, a place where you are not going to be shamed for that sin. You're not going to be put down for that sin. Okay, that's one ditch on one side of the road that I think we need to, at Harvest Mill, make sure that we're not a shame church. Okay, we're not going to shame people for their sin. This is a safe place, a community where you can share what you're struggling with and not be shamed for it. Okay, because we're forgiven from sin. That's one side. The opposite side of the ditch, though, guys, is when we say that, okay, because I confessed it, I can just keep doing it. And just because I confessed it and this is a safe place to share, like Harvest Mill doesn't really want me to change anything. Like, I can just be safe here. I can get it off my chest. I can feel better about it, but I don't really have to change. Okay, but true confession of sin is not just about feeling better about ourselves and getting that guilt off for a second. It's actually about changing our behavior. True confession of sin isn't about feeling better. It's about getting better, okay? And so you have to want to be cleansed from the sin just as bad as you want to be forgiven from the sin. So we can't fall into the ditch on the other side of the road and just be like, well, this church is safe to confess sin. Like, we're not going to shame people for it. And so we just confess it and we're just good with it, okay? We're just okay with it. That's not it either, okay? Sin is not okay. Sin is never okay. If anyone here, if I'm ever preaching here, or if anyone ever is preaching here, that sin is okay, you guys can just fire me, like throw me out of the church. I give you full permission. Just throw me out, okay? So we can't fall into either ditch on either side. We have to be like Christ, who, when he was confronted with people, right? Think about what he did when the woman was caught in adultery. He did not condemn her for the sin. He didn't shame her for it. He also didn't condone the sin. He said, get up, you're forgiven, go and sin no more, right? He did both sides. That's how we have to be, just like this verse is saying. We have God's forgiveness. We also have God's power to cleanse us and to help us change and be different. So as we close here, just a practice, okay? How do we actually practice this confession thing in our life every single day? Okay, so confession should be practiced. Number one, we just have two ways to close it here. So first of all, with trustworthy people. Okay, and maybe I should just say with people first, because that's another thing that gets confused about confession. Sometimes we think we just have to confess our sins to God. Listen, God already knows your sins. He already sees them. Okay, he doesn't need you to tell him what they are. But when he actually tells us to do in the book of James, confess your sins to one another. Because then that helps us not deceive ourselves. That helps us to really realize and understand, okay, that I'm not deceiving myself here. I'm confessing it. So we have to confess our sins to one another. And there's nothing special about a pastor or a priest. Like, that's not biblical, okay? You don't have to confess it to a priest or a pastor. Every believer, the Bible teaches, is a priest. Meaning somebody who can go between man and God. And it teaches we all have access to God through our faith. And so it's not like you have to confess it to a specific person, just any believer who is trustworthy. Okay, somebody who's going to be like Christ, who's not going to shame you, right? They have to be trustworthy. They're not going to take that information and throw it back in your face later, right? The kind of person that you can trust. But then also, again, somebody who's not content to just leave you there and to not help you get better with the thing that you're struggling with or whatever it is, okay? So it has to be somebody who's trustworthy and faithful and safe to confess it to, but also is going to help you with whatever the thing is, okay? Secondly, just it's not up there, but another word on that, right? Just because we're called to confess to sin to one another doesn't mean we're called to confess sin to everyone. And everyone doesn't need to know our problems, right? Okay, so like, I think that's another ditch, right? Sometimes we're tempted, okay, we're supposed to confess sin as Christians, and so we just share, like, we overshare it sometimes, and we share it with more people than need to know, and that's another ditch on the other side, okay? So we need to share it with a few trustworthy people, okay? And then the second one, last thing, is this. It's supposed to be a lifestyle, an ongoing practice, okay? So it's not just like a one time and I'm done with this thing. It's also not just like a... it's not just like a one time and I'm done. It's a lifestyle. It's an ongoing thing that I just do. I practice in my life and my relationships. I get comfortable with sharing things that I'm maybe struggling with friends, with leaders, and that type of thing. So as we close today, I want you to just think about, okay, when was the last time you honestly shared a struggle or a sin with another human, right? When was the last time you confessed sin? And is this something that you're practicing in your life in any way? Okay? And I would encourage you, challenge you to do this, to practice this in your life. Because Scripture tells us to, number one. And secondly, because that is, and I would say this from experience too, like that is the way of following Jesus. That is one of the things that helps us follow Jesus the most, just like this verse in 1 John talked about. To kind of take, I know we got some weightlifters in the room, okay, to give them an example, right? It's kind of like lifting legs. It's not very fun, like it's leg day. It's not very fun. It's not very glamorous, right? It's not like you're going to get all kinds of girls on Instagram saying how nice your legs look. Maybe you guys do. I don't know. You don't lift. Who am I kidding? These guys don't lift legs.
Okay.
Yes, I shouldn't just be looking back there. I don't know. There might be some lifters over here too. I'm not sure. But anyways, confessing our sin in a spiritual manner, guys, confessing our sin is kind of like lifting legs, where we're not going to like get all kinds of credit for it. You're not going to like get popular for it. It's not going to be fun at the time. It stinks at the time. Nobody likes to confess your sin or struggles. It's not easy, okay? But it's the only way to freedom. Just like lifting legs is the only way to get stronger in our whole body, the only way to get stronger as a follower of Jesus is to practice confessing sin. It's not fun. It's not easy. But it is the way to ultimately to freedom. And so as we close again today, this is the last day we're looking at this, idea of the narrow path, but it's probably not the last time we're going to use this as a church, because I think this is what it looks like to follow Jesus. Okay, and as we follow Jesus, we want to get closer and closer to the circle, to that little part of the circle where it's freedom. And I think just to kind of explain this, it's not like we go around this one time in our life. I think we do this every single week, like even by the hour, by the day. If we're paying attention to our heart and to what's going on the inside, we can know, okay, where am I tempted to be at right now, right? And that's the way we can actually use this and practice this. Like, where am I at today? Am I on the big slide today? Like, am I tempted? Am I feeling a lot of temptation? Or am I maybe on the island today? I'm just like feeling very alone. Am I in the pit today? I feel guilty about something that I did. The first thing we need to do to use this is to know, where am I at today? What am I feeling on the inside? What's happening inside of me? Then I can know, where do I need to go? What's the action that will get me towards the middle of the circle and more towards freedom? And the more that we practice that as we go around, the closer and closer, start out here, okay? But the closer and closer we get to the middle and to walking in freedom with Christ. So with all that said, let's go ahead and pray. And